Hey, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today, we're going to keep going on this series about slavery in the Bible. And what does the Bible say about slavery? And questions like, is slavery the same in the Bible as what we see around the world and also in America's past? If you've been following along with this series, this whole time, you'll already be answering no. Because the answer is no. The Bible's form of slavery is completely different than the oppressive, wicked slavery, the disgusting slavery that we saw here in America, in the South, and, well, pretty much has been experienced around the world. The Bible slavery is more of like a hired servant. Well, today, we're going to keep looking at this, and we're going to be looking more about how we're slaves to be treated. So with that, let's go ahead and jump right in. Slave owners were commanded to give your slave off at least one day a week. You were commanded to make sure that they did not work on the Sabbath day, which is generally agreed upon that that is Saturday. All right? Where do we get that? Exodus 23:12, 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine donkey may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. All right, this is a command. You know, don't work your servant on the Sabbath day. All right, so again, I'm just making the case that this is not the cruel version of slavery that we see nowadays, the kind of stuff that we think of when we're talking slavery. And maybe I should stop calling it slavery in the Bible. It's more like bond servant, servitude, indentured servants, all right? Most of the time, unless you're a criminal or a prisoner of war. But yeah, you gave your slaves off. It didn't matter what kind of slave, right? There's no distinction between the criminals and the war prisoners and the like. Okay, they all got the Sabbath day off. What else? Let's move on. The slaves were required to participate in the Jewish religious observances. Well, okay, so the atheist is going, what? How could they? That's discrimination. Well, guys, if the Bible is true, then this is merciful, right? Because we're talking about people that are offering up sacrifices to pagan gods here. A lot of times, we're criminals that obviously are not godly people. You have war prisoners who have never been exposed to the truth, and now they're being exposed to biblical truth, and they have the opportunity to choose to follow after the God of the Bible, all right? Genesis 17:13, Exodus 12:44, Leviticus 22:11. These scriptures talk about, they're mainly talking about different Jewish observances, different feasts of the Lord, like specifically Passover and circumcision and different things along those lines, eating of the feast meals. And these slaves were required to take part in this and be able to enjoy the joyous occasions of the different feasts in the Old Testament. And so they got to party with their master, in a sense. Okay, yeah, they're also talking about circumcision, which, okay, that's a whole nother subject, and I don't have the time to get into that. The atheist is thinking, oh my goodness, that is insane, and I must admit, yikes, I would hate to have to go through that at a later age. But it does talk about circumcising the the servant, the slave, if they have not been already. Oh boy, I don't even want to touch that with that series. Eventually, I will probably get into that. To be honest, I don't even want to touch it. But it is a topic that needs to be talked about because atheists flip out about this practice. It's not required nowadays, okay? but it was a sign. It was a sign of a person in the Old Testament, them cutting off the sinful part of them. Okay. This seeking after the worldly pleasures. It is that painful removal of that humanness of you for the purposes of chasing after, to seek after our God. All right, that's it in a nutshell. I'm not going to get into that too in depth here. So, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. Yeah, I admit it's a little wild, and there's some things about God that I have a hard time with. That would be one of them, but I understand it. God, okay, sin is a painful thing, okay? Removing sin out of your life can be a very painful experience. And a lot of things that the Jews did in the Old Testament are symbolic of things that Jesus talks about and reveals to us in the New Testament. There's a lot of types and shadows in the Old Testament, and I most certainly am going to do some series on different types and shadows that you find in the Old Testament that are revealed plainly by Jesus in the New Testament. All right. But anyway, circumcision, yeah, it is a painful process, yowzers, that removes a desire for pleasurable sinful experiences, and rather a forsaking them and turning to God and chasing after God with everything. Anyway, yikes. Let's move on. What about this? Slandering a slave, accusing slaves, you know, really verbally going after slaves is also spoken against in the Bible. So, you know, this modern day version of slavery, you've got these verbally abusive slave owners. Again, you know, the Jews were commanded to love their slaves, to treat them as family members, and really to give them lots of respect. And you find this particular concept in Proverbs, of all places. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 10, accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty. So, okay, we're talking about people making false accusations against your slave here, but it is describing basically slandering a slave. And again, if we're treating our slaves like family members and we're loving on them, then it is not permissible to be verbally abusing them. So how about this? And this goes along the lines of, again, going back to that one verse where we're talking about beating slaves. Some slaves would run away from their masters. Now, in our modern day version of slavery, how we see slavery around the world and in America's past, God forgive us. If a slave ran away, you were to return the slave to the master, and the slave would get beat up and all that good stuff, right? Good stuff. I'm being very sarcastic. It's disgusting. But what about biblical slavery? If a slave ran away from an oppressive master, they were to be freed. Wait, what? Yeah. Check this out, Deuteronomy 23, verse 15 and 16. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. He shall dwell with thee, even among you, in that place which he shall choose in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. All right, what are we talking about here? When we've got slave owners that are acting more like what we see slavery nowadays, okay, they're beating on their slave, they're oppressing them, maybe they're verbally abusing them, and that slave is like, they just can't take it anymore. Okay, the master is being unjust in how they are dealing with them. And they run away, you don't return the slave back to the master. You actually hide them. You take them into your home, and you love on them. You feed them. You give them a place to live, and you don't oppress them. Now, while we're talking about how you treat slaves, let's get back to this concept of the year of Jubilee. Check this out. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 39 through 43. If thy brother that dwelleth by thee by waxing poor, be waxen poor, and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant. but as a hired servant, as a sojourner. He shall be with thee, and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his fathers shall he return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over them with rigor, but shall fear thy God. Check this out. Exodus chapter 21, verse 2. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. So guys, as you can see, there was two ways that you could be set free. Basically, it was either every 7 years or on the year of Jubilee, which happened every 50 years. Okay, so the Jubilee, the year of the Jubilee, was every 50 years, this rotating cycle. Then also, if you were hired on after 6 years of working as a slave, or purchased for that matter, after 6 years, on the seventh year, you were to be set free. So again, this is not the same oppressive slavery that we're used to. I mean, this looks nothing like it. And it gets better than that. Let's go ahead and move on here. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 12 through 14. If thy brother, an Hebrew man, or, check this out, a Hebrew woman, this will come in later, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Wait, what's up with this? Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy flour, and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God has blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. Okay, guys, again, in light of how we see modern day slavery, you know, what are the images that come to our minds when we're talking about slavery? Does that fit? After 6 years, you're going to get let go still. Okay. And when they got let go, they were given livestock. It says liberally, furnish him liberally out of thy flock. Okay. Livestock, it's not just take it outside and, you know, hang it up and get some meat, right? Fill up the freezer. No, livestock is a means to earn a living. Yeah, that's right. You gave him an asset, an actual way that they could support themselves, at least get their feet out or feet under them and get out there in the world and find a way to make it in this world. Am I rambling on? Do you guys get what I'm saying? They didn't just give them something. They gave them something that they could use. It's kind of like the difference between giving somebody some fish to eat or giving them a fishing pole, right? There's the two different concepts here. There's a handout and a hand up. This was a hand up, a big hand up. They could choose to be irresponsible and just chow down on that meat, or they could keep it and take care of those animals, get them to reproduce, and then have something to sell. Okay? Then they got flour and they got wine. Basically, here's the idea. They got food and they got something to drink, and then they had a means to make an end, a way to make it in the world, being that they have no home now and they're being let out into the world. They have something they can use to make money. Guys, that is nothing like the slavery that we think of when we talk about slavery. Let's go ahead and stop right there. Come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com, and leave comments and questions. Guys, if you like what you hear, hit the like button. Share this stuff with your friends. Please, let's get apologetics and reasons to believe in people's hands. And that doesn't just go for the stuff that I am cranking out. That goes for any good apologetics that you hear out there. Share it. Let's get it out there, friends. Let's get people saved. Let's put knowledge in the hands of Christians. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.